I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Westmont Public Library Board of Trustees on Tuesday, September 15th, 2020 at 7.07 p.m. We have determined that an in-person meeting is not practical or prudent because of the public health disaster declaration in Illinois. This virtual meeting is open to all and is also being recorded. And finally, in an effort to provide even greater transparency, all votes at this meeting will be taken as roll call votes. Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Here.
Trustee Carmichael?
Here.
Secretary Delano?
Here.
Vice President Martins?
Here.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Here.
Trustee Parikh?
Here. I'm here.
Okay. If my connection gets bad, let me know. I'll move to a different room. I've been having problems here. And President Fichtel.
Here. Pledge of Allegiance. We'll assume Elaine is standing. So.
She is.
Pledge Allegiance to the flag.
To the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands.
One nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
On to the approval of the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the regular board meeting of August 18th, 2020, the communication log of September 2020, and the director's report of September 2020.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
John and Annie, I think. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays. Motion passes.
Thank you. On to the open forum. Hello, Spencer. And board members. Heather.
I have nothing.
Rajesh.
Nothing specific. Actually, I have not been able to get to the library in the last couple of weeks, even if though I want to.
Okay. Carrie.
Yeah, actually, I had an interesting conversation with Julia about the increase in quarantine time for return materials, which was, you know, kind of shocking to me when I saw that it was going from, I think, 3 to 7 days. And she had an interesting explanation for it that I'm sure she'll be happy to share with you. But right before the meeting started, I was explaining it to my wife, Valerie, and she asked, what about material that is just browsed but never checked out? You know, that is a thing currently, is it not? Patrons are free to browse and browse the materials, and is it just an unmanageable risk that we have to accept that, you know, someone could possibly contaminate material and then reshelve it themselves and walk out the door and it's sitting there waiting like a time bomb? That's all I have.
Yeah. So, and can everyone hear me tonight? No. Okay.
Yeah.
I still feel like I'm like landing planes, but, So I sent that email out, and that it was Rails, which is does the delivery statewide, and they had upped their requirements from 3 days to 7 days. They based that on the results from phase 3, which just showed that on, plastic material that it was still detectable at 4 days. And previously in the first phases, not to go into too much depth with you, but in the first phases, they found the paper-based material, so that's the majority of our items, our books, that it was in 2 days, it was not detectable. And so that's why the 3 days had been decided. But in phase 4, they were testing, and we didn't have these results when I had sent that email to you, but we knew that they were coming soon after. They were testing all material, including paper-based, in a stacked configuration, which is what the majority of our items are. Even when we get them back, they're stacked. On the shelves, they're stacked. When we are quarantining them, they're stacked, just we don't have space otherwise. And they did find that at 6 days, even paper-based materials did have detectable virus on it. So again, that's why we think Rails knew that that information was coming and why they had immediately said, let's go to 7. So Rails requires it. They aren't requiring every library to do it, but the reason we're doing it, one, is just to err on the side of caution and safety, but also because when we check items in, anything that goes out to Rails, whether it's our items going out for delivery to other patrons or just going back to their home library, we would have to then store it for 7 days. And if it's material, we would have to check it in again before 7 days. Otherwise, we're putting a lot of items in delivery that might not need to still go out because they've been filled otherwise or canceled. So it just really became kind of a just complicated process. And just to be consistent, and also that the messaging to our patrons here is also we care about your safety. And so if it's detectable at 6 days, let's hold on to it for 7. So as I mentioned in the email, we have that extra 7-day grace period. So no one's accounts are blocked until instead of at 14 days, it's now at 21 days. So we've worked with that. Obviously it does slow the process down for getting items. And then as far as, Carrie, your point, that was a big discussion amongst library directors, and Rails was involved in that. And Rails said, that's up to you. If you want to determine that your stacks are considered clean, that's up to you. And that is what we're doing. So we are saying that our stacks, for the most part, we think are clean. You know, there's some collections that are browsed more than others, our DVDs, for example. But in a way, we're kind of going with we're doing everything we can. It's a little bit of buyer beware. And if you're taking a DVD home, you're more than welcome to wipe that down. You know, same with book covers. So and just encouraging people to wash their hands and whatnot. And also one other huge issue here is just because it's detectable does not mean that it's at a viral load that someone can actually get it from that. It just means they can detect any amount of the virus on the item. And there's a whole big, you know, there's all these different LOQs and terms that they use. So they have even said, we have absolutely no idea if that means that just because it's detected that someone could actually get it from that small amount of, you know, trace. So it's complicated, and it seems to still be, I mean, just like everywhere else in the world, changing every day. So most libraries in our area, as far as most libraries in Swan, went to just a full 7-day quarantine just to be consistent and safe. So it's interesting. There's that. I don't know if you guys read, if you clicked on the study itself, the Realm study, but there's also some webinars with the scientists themselves. It's really quite interesting if anyone's bored and wants to. Phase 5 is underway, and phase five will be interesting because it's actually testing furniture and upholstery. So that might give us some insight on that. So.
All right. Thank you. John, sure. Anything?
Nothing.
Annie?
Yes, two things. One is we did the Westmont Library scavenger hunt and thoroughly enjoyed it. So any of you with or without kids, I would recommend you check it out. It's all on your phone with the QR codes, which I'll admit I had never used before, and it was super easy, and my kids really enjoyed it. And then also I think it's kind of new, Julia, you can correct me, but the programming where you take the kits home with you show up on the day that the program is released on YouTube. And we picked up a few of those kits today. I was really impressed. They had like a story time kit, like alphabet based, where we'll follow along every week for my son who's in preschool. And then for the older kids, there was like a arts and crafts type kit today, like a watercolor with tissue paper thing. So, you know, I just thought it was a nice way, since you can't do your normal in-person programming that you would normally be doing, this was a nice way for people to sort of take advantage of those resources and for the library to put out that type of programming in a different way. So thank you.
Yeah, I will pass that on, and also to Brittany, because she's been overseeing the whole, she's been working with the managers of both departments and the marketing team on this, and they've done a tremendous job putting all that together. And I'll also say I should plug the Friends, because the Friends actually sponsored the story time kits. Correct, Brittany?
Okay.
Yeah. So, you're right, Annie. They've done I've been pretty hands-off with all of that, and they've really got it all down. And YouTube is really quite complicated as far as, you know, going live and tracking the stats and all that stuff. It looks kind of simple, but staff have put a lot of behind the scenes work into that. I know there's also, you know, where do we promote the programs? We have our own event calendar, but then we have the YouTube channel. And so I know they have a system down for doing that. And so in the fall newsletter, which should be in homes soon, they really laid out the difference and how you find the programs and what goes along with each of them. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was my only feedback, was that this type of event, I hadn't really seen promoted on Facebook, which is how I often get reminders of some of the events that are going on.
Okay.
I often see those in the morning. I'm like, oh yeah, that's, you know, like the make and take things.
Okay.
You know, oh, I'll stop in that day or whatever. You know, I did see in the press release that this was happening. So I did take the extra step to go to the website and on the calendar. But I know, I don't know if everyone would, do those.
Okay.
Things. And I did see Christy today, and I showed her all the things we picked up and, you know, complimented her as well. And I didn't get a chance to talk to her to see if they're getting the, numbers that they're looking for. She mentioned on some of the stuff that they're actually getting, maybe it's the make and take stuff where they're getting a lot of people. Maybe it was something, I can't remember specifically, but I know this is kind of new too, but I think if you're not getting as many participants as you intended, I think, you know, Facebook and social media is like, I think there's a lot of parents that tune in that way and probably
okay.
be looking for that audience. But overall, it's awesome. I should have brought it with me to show you guys, because the materials are really nice. So.
Okay. Yeah. We'll pass that on to the marketing team. I'm sure it's on Aaron's radar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brittany will pass that on.
Annie, I support what you are saying, because I had seen the YouTube channel a couple of times when my grandson was staying with us in July, and I went to the calendar to look for the program, and I think it's mostly Tuesdays, I think.
There's so much content. We cannot actually consume it all. There's like so much good stuff out there, so it's impressive.
Yeah, good. I'll pass that on. Mm-hmm. That's nice to hear.
Okay, and Elaine?
Nothing tonight.
All right. Thank you. Director.
Oh, yes. I do have a few things that I wanted to briefly mention. One, I wanted to mention the CARES Act. So we are getting some reimbursement for FY20 from the village. So the way the CARES Act worked is that money goes to the county, and then the village can apply for that money. We as a library can't ourselves. We have to do that through the village. So we did submit. We've been tracking all of what we've been spending on COVID-related expenses. And so FY20, they're going to reimburse. It's not much. It's just a little over 1,000, because that was the end of the last fiscal year. It was really, you know, kind of right before we closed, so we didn't purchase much for it. So, and there's no guarantee on the FY21, but we are tracking all of that, and we'll submit that. So I just did want to mention that we did get that. So I mentioned the Friends of the Library sponsored the Storytime kits. I told staff I would give them a plug there. The election, so we have two elections coming up, I'm sure everyone knows. One in November. We also have one in April, where we have three library trustee seats that will be open. So packets for those will be available from Village Hall, September 21st. They can start circulation on September 22nd. And then those are for four-year terms, because as you remember, we changed that. So there are three seats up for that. So if there's any questions or comments about that, let me know. And then the election in November, Brittany and I were kind of just talking about that. There's a lot of discussion amongst directors. Most libraries are polling places. There is the Illinois Municipal League did file a lawsuit with the governor, because he did sign an order saying that it's a state holiday and government offices need to be closed. It does obviously make an exception for polling places. There's some gray area as far as like, do we have to close otherwise? So that determination should be, they said, coming in October, but in between then, you know, just in talking about it with directors and with Brittany and thinking about it. So the people that come in to vote while they're in line, while they're in the polling place in the meeting room, staff do not, we cannot interfere with that process. It's up to the election commission to do so, to make sure if they're going to be maintaining social distancing or wearing masks. We as staff can't interfere with that. We also can't tell them they can't be in here. So what we're going to do, obviously we're going to be open, but staff will not be out on the floor during that time, because I just want to protect staff. I could be making a general, I don't want to sound pessimistic, but in case there are people that come in without masks or who don't maintain that 6 feet distance, I just think for the safety of staff, we'll be open. They can come in and check out materials. They can, you know, go upstairs and grab materials. They can come up. We can make a library card for them at the desk. We did that. I did that for people in March when we were closed otherwise, but we won't be out on the floor and offering any of the other services we do out on the floor, like notary and things like that. So I did just want to mention that to you. If there's any concerns about that, please let me know. But I just think, that's, for the best. So I'll be here. Brittany will be here. We're going to have two other people, probably two other managers here. So that we'll be, taking some shifts and, so we'll be the ones on site. So if there's questions about that or comments, just please feel free to let me know about that. So, and then lastly, I think the only other thing I really wanted to mention is just generally about service and service hours. We've been talking about that a little bit more too. So we have our October schedule out with the current hours that we have now. We are talking about whether we should be opening on Sundays and just evaluating some of the other statistics that we're continuing to do. So our foot traffic this past week has picked up. So we were averaging a little under 200 a day up to this point. And now it seems we're, you know, above 200, sometimes mid 200. So if that continues to trend, well, that's a great thing. But we are looking at, you know, do we open on Sundays in November and just, you know, starting in November. And the one thing I will just mention about that is, we have had vacancies. We have about, we had four people have left. One is a full-time position. We have not filled any of those. So if we do open on Sundays, we will have to fill at least one or two of those service desk positions, just the service desk position. So, so I just wanted to let you know that we're talking about it. We've continued to talk about it this whole time. And we'll have to make that decision soon, because we do have to get November schedules out to staff. So if any of you want to weigh in on that, if you've heard anything, I mean, I have not heard, staff have not heard, or at least they've not passed on to me, and we've talked about it. Anyone upset that we're not open on Sundays or later into the evenings? If you have, let me know. If you think we need to fast track that, please let me know. So we've not seen an uptick in students coming in since school started, or trying to come in and use study spaces or anything like that. That seemed to kind of be, I think, right when before school was starting, we were getting those questions. We've been tracking the number of requests we get for study rooms. It's one a day if we get any. So it wasn't as much as what I thought it was going to be when staff were talking to me about it. So, so that was, I just wanted to know if there was any feedback that you had for us about that. If there is, you guys are always obviously welcome to give that to us. And I just wanted to make sure we were being transparent about that and that you guys could weigh in on that. So
what's your traffic been like on Saturdays?
Brittany, do you have that pulled up? it was, so after Annie's, you know, comment at the last meeting, we recalculated everything. Our busiest day, it was really close. I think it was like Saturday and Monday, or so obviously right around your Sundays. And then Wednesday, our foot traffic is actually heavier, or at least it was in August. It was heavier midweek than it was, but Cirque was heavier on Saturday and Monday. So it was kind of an interesting.
So Saturday and Monday, Saturday tends to be a little bit higher, but it wouldn't be classified as the highest day or it's about 10 to 20 people versus, you know, nothing like 50 or 60. That was for August. September, obviously, we only have two Saturdays. Foot traffic has gone up, but those Saturdays are staying pretty consistent with either being, you know, the second, you know, most popular day each of the weeks. And if it is the most popular, it is only by a couple of people. There is a little bit more foot traffic on Saturday, but nothing where it's like double or 50 more, or where we can see that like a lot of people are trending towards Saturday versus the other days.
It's interesting because it's not at all like the foot or Cirque traffic was before this hit, right? Like we always knew what our, you just knew. And you also knew your months. What were your busy months? Like December was always the slowest month. Like that'll be interesting to see if that's the case. So
what's the motivation for staying closed? So, you know, I mean, it seems to me if we can pull it off and give students access to the library on a Sunday, I mean, you know, at least access to their materials and stuff like that, and do it safely and follow all the same things you guys have been following. Well, then mm-hmm. why not do it, I guess, is my question.
Right now, we would have to add staff.
Sure.
To do it. So I think, you know, initially, and most libraries around here too, it was working on a team model. And so making mm-hmm. sure, I mean, really just the logistics of scheduling and having us all stay on that team model. And because Sunday was our shortest, that's not the right word, the day we're open the least amount of hours. Mm-hmm. And so as long as we're, you know, in my way thinking, if we were open the other days, that was actually more hours in the week versus, you know, if you had Sunday open. Like Indian Prairie actually switched. So now they're open on Sundays, but they're closed Fridays. Hmm. Because they were having scheduling issues and quarantining issues. So they're open the same amount of days, but they're open less hours. So it's every library is kind of looking at it differently. That would be my only other thing about it. And that's just in general too. I mean, there's no way for us to know the future, but quarantining. So right now we have two who are quarantining. We had three for a while. So it's just, it's totally doable. It's for the most part, as long as it's not half the staff, but there might have to be a little bit of juggling when things like that pop up.
Yeah. That makes sense what you're saying. Yeah. Consider all those aspects.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the case with any sickness or any flu season, right? But we will have to make that decision soon, like I said, because staff, we have to get those schedules out for staff. So I Brittany and I had said if we did go to that model, we would have to get rid of the team. Or if we open Sundays, we'd have to get rid of the team model, just because we also have a few Cirque staff who work other libraries, and so we've been able to work it out so their team schedules worked for that. But if we're bringing Sunday rotation into it, it would. So I also want to check in with the other libraries around here and see what they're doing and thinking for fall. I know some of them have said they're not, Oak Brook and Thomas Ford said they're not doing Sundays this year, LaGrange Park, but I want to see some of our immediate, Hinsdale was having her board meeting this evening too, so we'll see what they're doing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you could onboard new staff in an effective way that would like set them up for success given the current situation, like with the restrictions on everything? I guess that would be my concern. Like, I know lots of libraries are hiring, but I'm just wondering, you know, what are the skills, you know, how far out are you looking, and like, what kind of staff are you expecting to bring on? And is this the right time to bring on that kind of a person for whatever roles you have to fill?
Yeah, it would definitely be a new process for us. I think even interviewing would probably be a new process during this time. So we have thought about it, and you are right. There are other libraries in the area who are doing it. So we would definitely, you know, talk to some of them and get some tips on how they've done it, the onboarding. And it would be our service desks. So, you know, ideally it'd be great if there were people who already had library experience or were in the system already. And so we didn't have a lot of that training to do. And that was, you know, what we were able to do with one of our positions is move someone from Cirque. She had was just getting her degree and move her to assistant librarian. So it was an internal transfer, worked out great. And we do have a lot of staff who work in multiple libraries. And so that works out well, just as far as training and bringing those ideas. So yeah, it would be tricky. I mean, we would make it work just like everything else, right? We would make it work. But yeah, even I think, you know, we've talked about, like, Brittany's like, how do I teach someone how to make a library card if they've never done it and I have to stand 6 feet away and show them the module on the computer, you know? So things like that. So we would get creative. So.
Any other questions? Actually, I do have one back to the elections, and it's not really for me, but for those trustees who may want to run again, or for anyone who's running, is there any guidance that we're aware of how to collect signatures when you have to be 6 feet away from somebody and try to hand them a form to sign? Probably not. They're just expected to still get out there and collect them, or?
That's my understanding. Yeah. I can see if there's anything included in the packets, if there's anything from the Election Commission on that. That was my understanding, is it's just kind of like every other time.
Okay. How are your paper airplane building skills, Jason?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't have to do it, but just thinking of bad weather, I guess you stand outside and throw it at the front door and hope that they catch it and sign it and throw it back at you or something, and then sanitize your pen every time, or I don't know, so. Good luck to those of you who may want to run again. So
put the form on a frisbee.
Yes, that could work. So
get creative.
Okay, Brittany, anything to add?
Just that your fall newsletter should be in your mailboxes by the end of this week, hopefully. And like Julia said, it's going to be all of our fall programming, youth and adult. Adult is also doing kind of a take and make approach to some of their programs where you'll be able to pick up supplies and then follow along at home. They're also doing a food series so that it's just little quick 5 minutes and under videos on things you can make. And like Julia said, there will be an entire kind of layout of how to navigate our programming. So this was really big for the marketing team so that everyone in Westmont understood where to go to find their programs, because it's confusing. It's on Evance, but it's on YouTube. And is it all day? And is it just this day? And we have all these playlists. So we try to really give a kind of view of how to navigate it and kind of what to expect from us. Our hopes then is just to continue this kind of movement going forward so that everyone kind of knows what we're doing and can know what to expect. So by winter, everyone will be masters at how to get to our programming.
Thank you. And Julie, anything?
No.
All right. Thanks. Moving on then to additions and deletions.
Move to add the additions and delete the deletions.
Second, Elaine.
Heather and Elaine. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
On to the Treasurer's Report.
Move to file the Treasurer's Report for audit.
Second.
Oh, that was a total tie. So we'll say John, I guess. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael, was I the only one who missed that?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins.
John looks
Vice
broken. John, are you there?
There he is.
There he
is. Vice President Martins.
Yes. Okay.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays. Motion passes.
Treasurer's report is filed for audit. Bills and salaries.
I'll move to approve bills and salaries.
Second, Elaine.
John and Elaine, discussion.
I do have a question about, I think it was actually on one of the additions, the Amazon general, the Amazon charge for 1926 was, it goes under general maintenance repair. I just wondered what that was for.
That was for the air purifiers repurchased. And if you go in the building, you'll see them. There are two in the computer lab. There's one behind the main CERP desk. There's one behind the youth services desk.
Okay, good.
And then there are others back in the staff areas.
Thanks, Julie. Yes.
Any other questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays. Motion passes.
All right. Seeing no unfinished business, we move on to new business item A, board to consider a motion to approve the transfer of fiscal year 20 surplus funds to the special reserves fund for an amount of $86,792.
So moved.
Second, Elaine.
Heather and Elaine, discussion.
Yes. So in your packets, you have the auditors have confirmed our fund balances. So you have that draft document there. And that gives us the information that we need to make our transfer. So we do this every year. I also give you details about where the surplus is from each of the budget lines. And then we do the calculations. So we keep 30% of this year, so the next fiscal year, the current fiscal year's operating budget, and then whatever is left over is transferred to surplus. So those details were all spelled out in the packet for you. So if there's any questions about any of that, happy to do that, to answer any of those questions. As you know, the building was closed the last 7 weeks of the fiscal year. That obviously had an impact on our spending. Collections, for example, you'll see that there was about $21,000 from collections. So that was the biggest one as far as our services. And the rest of the majority of surplus came from salaries and benefits. So again, we had vacancies we didn't fill, especially a full-time position. And as I noted in there, we also budget for healthcare for all of eligible employees. If they don't take it, we have surplus. That was the case. And then just other vacancies that happened throughout the year. So overall, that was the surplus, and those are the numbers. If there's any questions. I don't think it's too far off from what, because I know Annie and Carrie had both asked me, I think beginning of the fiscal year, what it would be. I don't think it was too far off. I think we said about 70, 75, something like that. So.
Okay, roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays. Motion passes.
And just, sorry, one other note before we go to the next one. I did want to just say that I will use that number and plug it into our capital outlay plan and bring that to the finance committee meeting in November so that you guys can see what those are. So.
Okay, thank you. New business item B, board to discuss the updated cash flow report.
Yes, so in your packet, updated the cash flow report as we talked about doing in May, just because of the issues with potentially delayed property tax disbursements. So we got our second disbursement on Friday for September, and so we've received about 95% of what we anticipate receiving this year, which is exactly what the same percentage received this time last year. So that's the good news. So I'm cautiously optimistic we'll receive just about the full amount. So we always get smaller disbursements in October, November, and December. So we'll keep an eye on that, and I'll let you know if there's any discrepancies there. So plugged those numbers in, and then there was a very lengthy and much appreciated explanation from Spencer about why the beginning cash balance number was slightly different from what we used in May. I looked at it a million different ways to try and figure that out, and then just gave up and called Spencer, and so we got the answers we needed. So once we plug that in, and then we have our actuals, obviously, for May, June, July, and August as far as what's been spent, and the rest of September through April is projections, just based on history of our spending and what we anticipate, how we anticipate we'll spend that money. And so it gives us this full picture, which I think is pretty healthy. I will make a note just to talk about salaries again. This is as if we weren't filling any of our vacancies. So that, you know, probably won't happen. We probably will fill them once we try and get back up to speed. There might be other vacancies that occur. So that number might, the salary line might change. Same with benefits, because we still this year had someone who didn't take our benefits. So some of those numbers at the end of the year will be, will change a little bit. But other than that, I think it looks pretty healthy, and you'll see what, you know, our May 21 balances look like if this plays out the way it is. And it looks healthy. So I just wanted to bring this back to you because I know we talked about it, and I was a little concerned about receiving property tax money this year. So so I'm happy to report that this is what it is.
Any other comments, discussion, feedback? Okay, on to new business item C, board to consider a motion to approve the library director's fiscal year 21 compensation increase of 5% for an annual salary of $104,852.48.
So moved.
Second.
Annie and Rajesh, discussion.
I wanted to put this on here because now that we've received our second, you know, property tax disbursements for September, and we know what that looks like, I'd like to move forward with staff getting their increases. So this is my way of getting your approval for that, even though I know that the salary budget is, you usually leave that up to my discretion to do that, but this is my way of getting your approval for that, to move forward with the reviews and everything that we had in place for May, but had determined it wasn't the best timing for that. So I wanted to move forward with that. And then I also had like a total, just so you guys know, freak out moment, because I was like, it was 5%, right? Like, I didn't make that up. So I, like, this year has been so crazy. So I was like, I hope that was what you guys had told me. So I did go back and look. So thank you for that. So.
Oh, we have to vote. Any other comments? Discussion?
Just a question as the entity that administers the payroll, is this retroactive back to May 1st or starting now? Or when does it start?
No, my assumption is it would be retroactive. It was for
the year. Because it's for the whole fiscal year. Okay.
Right. That's my assumption. I don't know if other board members agree. So And thanks, given all the work that still took place even during quarantine, I think it's justified. So
I agree.
I do too.
Thank you.
How we'll do it.
So then, so is everyone okay with me? Okay.
I would say all increases should be retroactive from when they should have started. Even for staff, if that's what you were about to ask.
I was trying to think through
everybody
that.
Everybody worked. It's not like people took 3 months off and did nothing. So.
I mean, I agree with that in theory, but what's the impact of that in terms of Julia trying to administer all of that and the, you know, the financial side of things?
I couldn't answer that because I didn't expect that. So I don't have the numbers.
Right. I didn't, I mean, I agree with the sentiment, but I don't know if that causes a big problem because I know that's not what you were planning.
Yeah. I mean, we had it budgeted as if, and we've had vacancies since that we haven't filled. So
right.
budget wise, it wouldn't be a problem making it work. Sorry. I was just thinking through that one. So it's, I'm just, sorry. I'm totally thinking on the spot. Yeah. So it was budgeted and we've had vacancies. So it's in there.
I'm sorry.
You usually do a review before the raises are put in place. Is that going to be a problem?
No, those we're definitely still doing. So managers had already done them, and they've been asked to update them just to make sure there's no major changes that have happened that they need to address or issues. So staff managers will definitely be doing that with the staff. So that's slated to happen. I told them they have to wait until this board meeting to schedule those, but they are the reviews themselves are completed for all staff. Good. Yeah.
So is the issue with having a retroactive raise, pay increase, that there are people who worked for part of that time but have now left the library? Like, what to do about that? Or is it just...
Yeah, no, I was just kind of thinking through... I was just thinking through May... I was thinking back, like, May 1, we started curbside May 18th. So I feel better thinking through it now. Just as of May 18th, like, all of our service desk folks were in the building for their full amount of hours. So I was just thinking through wanting to make sure that... I was just thinking it through. So, yeah, I know if they've left, they've left. So they won't be getting that. So,
is this something that we can let Julia and Spencer work out, or is it something that we as a board have to decide for her?
Well, we can't really vote on any of it because it's not on the agenda. The only thing we can vote on that we are voting on is Julia's salary.
Right.
I suppose we could simply say, since Julia is in charge of her staff, it's Julia's decision how to dole out the increases that were anticipated.
So right.
On one hand, as we said, they've been budgeted the entire time, but if there are certain staff or certain positions that weren't working until a certain date, maybe it's has to be by position. I don't know what your plan was, and it's technically, I suppose, Julia's decision. So even though we're in charge of the budget, so.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely advise me as your employer as you're my employers, you could advise me on what to do. I wouldn't not do what you tell me to do. So I can, you know, what I can do is look through it and just make sure I'm, there's just a few tricky ones too of people who, like I said, someone got, you know, promoted. And so we'll figure some of those out as far as the date that that happened and making sure some of those things fall into place. But, what I can do is just make sure that I'm comfortable with what that amount is when I look at the full picture. And if I'm not, I will reach out to Jason and kind of talk it through with you if the rest of the board is okay with that. And I can definitely report back the whole picture to the whole board in either case. But if I'm worried about something, I can reach out if that makes sense to everyone or.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion on 10C? Then roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
You know, when we passed this in February, we had no idea what Julia was going to be going through to get to this point.
It kind of makes you rethink, Elaine, the fact that she wanted 0.5% and not 5%. Just kidding. This is being recorded. That's a joke. It was just a joke.
That's funny. I laughed.
Okay. So seeing no requests for an executive session and seeing no other new business, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Paul, move to adjourn.
Second, Elaine.
Annie and Elaine, any discussion? Now's your chance to say any last highs and goodbyes before we're cut off. I'll just
thank you, Julia.
Well, everyone, stay safe.
Brittany, thank you.
Right. Yeah, stay well, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all.
All right, then roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
Thank you, and we are adjourned at 7:54 p.m. Thanks, everyone.